I'm Neelam Mishra, graduate student from Texas Tech University. The title of my today's talk is Heterologous Expression of Rice is One Improves Both Drought and Heat Stress Tolerance in Transgenic Cotton. So as we all know that cotton is an economically important cropland grown all over the world. It's an important source of fiber, oil, and low protein food for animals. And here in this picture, I have shown the cotton production regions in the US. It's most of the cotton production that occurs in the southern states, dominated by Texas. And Texas contributes around 25% of the country's crop production. But in recent years, due to several reasons, there has been a considerable decline in the cotton crop production. And one of the major reasons is the abiotic stress. Of all the abiotic stresses, drought and heat stress causes significant loss in cotton crop production in the West Texas region. And also the global warming, as you know, which is associated with the rising temperatures and increasingly variable rainfall patterns, will increase the frequency and severity of these stresses. Sorry. The plants, they are negatively affected in terms of growth and development by these abiotic stresses. As we can see that major physiological processes that are affected by drought and heat stresses are the plants, the photosynthetic rates get reduced, the reactive oxygen species are produced due to drought and heat stress, which affects the membrane integrity, and also it affects the reproductive development, ultimately affecting the fiber yield and quality. So therefore, we know that considering that abiotic stresses, they are causing a significant loss in crop production, there is an urgent need or pressing need to develop the cotton plants that can survive both drought and heat stress with minimal yield loss. So there are several strategies to improve stress tolerance in crop plants, so like conventional breeding or marker-assisted selection. The third one is the genetic engineering. This is the third approach that we use in our lab to create stress tolerance cotton, abiotic stress tolerance cotton. And several genes have been successfully tested in our lab, say AVP1 and IPT for stress improvement, especially drought stress. And the gene that I'm using in my project is SIZE1. This gene encodes for sumo E3 ligase. This gene is involved in a process called as sumoylation. Sumoylation is a kind of post-translation modification. This process is widely conserved in all the eukaryotes. This process is very much similar to ubiquitination, involving activation, conjugation, and ligation steps, as you can see in this picture. But what happens is when you tag ubiquitin to the target protein substrates, they are sent to proteasome for degradation. However, on the other hand, if you tag sumo proteins to the target protein substrates, it has been found that the protein stability gets increased, their cellular localization is affected, and also it has been found that the stress tolerance is being improved as by means of tagging the sumo to the target protein substrates. And the rice gene, it has been successfully tested in turf grass by one of our collaborators to improve the abiotic stress tolerance. And its homolog in Arabidopsis, it has been extensively studied for improving broad stress abiotic tolerance like drought stress, heat stress, and also salt stress. Therefore, we wanted to introduce this rice gene into the cotton so as to improve the drought and heat stress tolerance in transgenic cotton. And I'm presenting here a few of my results. So in order to achieve the goal of creating the, introducing the SIZE1 gene into the transgenic cotton, we created the transgenic cotton plant by tissue culture via agrobacterium-mediated transformation, going through the process of callus initiation, as you can see in figure B, then doing the somatic embryogenesis, and then the regenerations of roots and shoots. Through this process, we created around 37 to 40 independent cotton transgenic lines. Once we got those cotton transgenic lines, we did some molecular analysis, say PCR, as you can see in the top figure, to confirm the presence of the transgene. And indeed, we found that every single plant that we created by tissue culture contained the transgene. Also, we did the RNA blot analysis to see the expression of the gene, as we were using a monocot promoter, that is ubiquitin, and we found that there was no effect of that promoter, and this gene was equally expressed in all the transgenic plants that I created, almost all the transgenic plants. And from here, I selected four transgenic lines for physiological analysis. Also, I did the DNA blot analysis, but I did not present the results here to identify the copy number of the transgene. So the first experiment that I tried was the heat stress tolerance. This experiment was done in the growth chamber. The black bars here show the plants that were grown under optimal temperature conditions, that is 28 to 30 degrees Celsius, while the gray bars here represent the plants that were grown in the growth chamber that was programmed for 37 degrees Celsius for 4 hours a day. However, in other time, the temperatures were 30 degrees Celsius, and in the night, it was around 23 to 24 degrees Celsius. And what we found, as you can see in figure A, there was no significant differences in the plants that were grown under optimal conditions. However, the transgenic plants, when they were grown under heat stress, they were having around 15 to 18% higher photosynthetic rates than the wild type plants. And also, this higher photosynthetic rates was translated in higher number of poles, around 15 to 18% as you can see in figure B, and then higher yield as you can see in figure C. Then the next experiment we wanted to see is whether my plants are drought stress tolerant or not. So this experiment was done in the greenhouse. The black bars represent again the plants that were fully irrigated or under optimal irrigation. However, the gray bars represent the plants that were given one third of what we give for the regular irrigation. So that was a water limiting condition for the plant. And we found that under water limiting condition, which was one third of the regular irrigation, again there was around 20% differences in the transgenic plants. As you can see in figure A, the transgenic plants maintained 20% higher photosynthetic rates, which was again translated into higher number of bolls and greater fiber yield, as you can see in figure C. So here we get an idea that my plants were both heat and drought stress tolerance in terms of maintaining higher photosynthesis and generating greater fiber yield. Obvious thing was, one of the major thing is like better root systems are found in the plants that are drought stress adapted. So also we measured at the end of the drought stress, we measured the root biomass of the transgenic plants, both under optimal and under water limiting conditions. As you can see in figure A, the top one is the transgenic line, one of the transgenic lines that was the best one, and the wild type lines. After water limiting conditions, after this, the season was over, we measured the root biomass and we found more than 50% root biomass was higher in transgenic plants as compared to those of wild type plants and the segregating non-transgenic ones. Also, we did a short-term experiment to see whether my plants can efficiently utilize the water and generate a higher shoot biomass. So this experiment was done in USDA Lubbock, and we did, like, after 10 days from germination, what we did is we saturated our square pots with water and weighed the pots, and then we covered the pots with the special U-line poly bags. These bags were specially designed to allow the exchange of gases but not water. So any water that is being lost from the plants is through transpiration, and the soil evaporation is completely minimized here. So what we found is, at the end of the experiment, we measured the pot weight and also the shoot biomass. And as you can see in the picture, the wild type and segregating non-transgenic plants, after 3 weeks of this stress, they almost were permanently wilted. However, the transgenic plants, they survived 1 week more. And then this picture was taken after 3 weeks, and they were generating bigger biomass and bigger leaves. As you can see in figure B, I have the quantitative data, around 10 to 15% greater biomass than the wild type plants. The next thing I wanted to see is, as we know, drought and heat stress, they come hand in hand in field conditions. So I wanted to see whether, if I expose my plants to both simultaneously drought and heat stress, how is their performance. So here I have shown the black bars are the optimal ones. The light gray bars are the plants that are grown under just the heat conditions. However, the ones with the dark gray bars, these are under both simultaneous drought and heat stress. And again, we found the same thing, that my transgenic plants were having around 30% higher photosynthetic rates, which is shown in figure A, which is again translated in higher number of bolls in figure B, and then figure C. Here I have also shown a phenotypic representation of how my transgenic plants looked after 45 days of simultaneous drought and heat stress. As you can see, there was significant reduction in the leaf area for the wild type plants. However, the transgenic plants, they retain the boles much better than the wild type plants and also a bigger leaf area. We did around 2 field trials in 2014 and 2015. Here I'm presenting only the results for 2015 field trial. And we did 6 genotypes, wild types, segregating non-transgenic plants and 4 independent cotton transgenic lines. And they were grown in 3 different treatments. I'm showing here only the results for dry land. Because high and low irrigation, high irrigation there was no significant differences. In the low irrigation also I could not see very much significant differences because of heavy rains in 2015. However, when I did the low irrigation treatment in 2014, I could see some differences. We did the dry land condition in 2015. Again, we saw the same thing, that under in-field conditions, when they were exposed to both drought and heat stress, around 30 to 25% increase in photosynthesis for transgenic plants, as you can see in figure A. And then it was translated again 25 to 30% increase in the number of boles and cotton yield for transgenic plants. So here we get an idea that for sure my plant transgenic plants, they can perform better in the real world too when they are exposed to drought and heat stress. Then my last question was, what are the kind of genes that might be involved in enhancing or improving the drought and heat stress tolerances in transgenic plants? So one of the genes that I tested was heat shock proteins. I did the real-time PCR and extracted the RNA from all the cotton plants that were grown under control conditions, heat conditions, water limiting, and the simultaneous heat and drought conditions. And I found that this gene, HSP96, it was consistently expressed or highly expressed when they were exposed to stress, both in wild type and the transgenic plants. But as you notice that in the transgenic plants, the significantly, around 6 to 8-fold higher expression of heat shock proteins was found. So this might be one of the mechanisms why my plants are heat and drought tolerant, because one, as you know that heat shock proteins, these are kind of molecular chaperones. They are protective proteins and they protect the plants against the stress damage. So SIS1 might be involved in activation of the pathways that are involved in the expression of heat shock proteins. The other gene that I tested was RD22. This is the gene that is responsible for dehydration tolerance, and it's called as dehydration responsive protein. Again, I found the same thing, that in transgenic plants, this is highly expressed as compared to those of wild type plants, but it was only expressed under drought conditions and the simultaneous heat and drought conditions, not heat alone. So with that, I would like to summarize that my transgenic plants that were expressing SIS1, they were both heat and drought stress tolerant by means of maintaining higher photosynthetic rates, generating greater fiber yield, and increased expression of genes like heat shock proteins and RD22. With that, I would like to acknowledge and thank my advisor, Dr. Hong Zhang, and the co-PI of this project, Dr. Dekol from Plant and Soil Science, Texas Tech, and USDA Lubbock, Dr. Paxton Payton and Dr. John Burr for their valuable assistance and guidance. And also I would like to thank the funding agencies, Cotton Incorporated and USDA Ogallala Aquifer, for providing funds and supporting this project. Finally, I would like to thank Dr. Steve and the Beltwhite for giving me an opportunity to share my research with you all. Thank you for your attention, and I would like to have any questions. Arabidopsis gene, it has been extensively studied in Arabidopsis, but the rice gene, it was not extensively studied. So that's why we chose like the rice gene, and it was from our collaborator, and we got that gene and we got the construct, so that's why. Yeah.
The material that you tested in the greenhouse that was in the field, what T generation are they?
They were homozygous T2 generation. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.